The Bible reading today is from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May God add His blessing on the reading of His word.
Just so when you look at the bulletin this morning and you take a look at the sermon title, that is not a typo. In Hebrew, hallelu, is separated from Yah. Yah is God's name. Hallelu is praise Him. And so when you look at that, do not look and say, what did Jane do? Jane did it right. Let's bow. Good morning. You who created us, who has sustained us, who has loved us and cared for us, this morning we come and we simply want to tell you thank you. We want to tell you that you are the only one who is our hope. You are the one who is creative enough to put all of this together. You alone have been able to manufacture our bodies, to place us in an environment exactly right. All this is by your design. And you have loved us and have been compassionate and have been forgiving. You have been our strength and our protection. Father, there is nothing that we cannot tell you that you have not already done. There is no way that we can limit our gratitude or our devotion. There is no way that we could ever run out of praise. And so this morning we come to you and we tell you, you are the great one. You, above all, are majesty. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are having trouble picking out a theme for this morning, let me tell you what it is. It is called praise. We are praising God this morning. Praise, and we look out in the bulletin, is told all the time. We are told more than 60 times, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We are told to praise Him in every situation. We are told to praise Him in every posture. We are told that there is going to be an avenue of praise both now and forevermore. In fact, the word praise means to fall on your face. It means to bow down. It means to lay prostrate. We praise with hands held high. We praise with shouting voices. We praise standing. We praise dancing. We praise singing alone. And we praise singing with a vast multitude. Praise is expected from all believers and all followers of God. That section this morning I read for you, even the angelic hosts praise God. You know, the man that has the face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle, they're all there praising God. And every time they sing out, and you ever wonder where we get those great songs? Holy, holy, holy. Comes from the fourth chapter of Revelation. And then you have the other one, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. I'm doing a terrible job singing it, but you know what song I am. And so, thou art worthy, O Lord. That came again from the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And here we are, and we are going to be praising. And then there's another image of praise in the Bible, and it is found in chapter 7. And can you imagine this? Just picture this in your mind. That after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, and who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and all fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Can you imagine what that sounded like? Can you imagine just the noise level? Can you imagine what your body would respond? And all of a sudden, all the hairs on your body stand up on end. And they are excited. Your heart beats a little faster. Your breath comes a little quicker. It almost overwhelms the senses. In the presence of God, we will honor and rejoice, and we will praise Him for His character and for His actions. We're going to be excited about being with God. We are going to have enthusiasm. By the way, enthusiasm means to be inspired by God. The word comes from the Greek. En, it means in, theos, in God. We are literally, when you're enthusiastic, you're in God. You are inspired, possessed. You are owned by God. You're in ecstasy because of God. To be inspired in the presence, in the power of God. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be energizing. It will not be boring or lifeless. But unfortunately, that's then. How are we doing now? Are you enthusiastic this morning? I got to tell you, it's not looking good. Are you enthusiastic? What brings enthusiasm to you? What excites you? What energizes you? I think praising God ought to be one of those things that just ignites our heart. Praising God ought to be one of those. You know, because here on earth, we're kind of on our own. Oh, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit falls upon us. But we praise God for His goodness and love with the tools that we have at this moment. And we are still called to praise Him. And while this is not a gathering of a multitude that you can't count, we are still gathered in His presence. And there is a wide variety. And we ought to be here, and we ought to have something, a little quickening of the pulse, a little excitement about being in the presence of the God who not only created us, but also takes care of us day in and day out. We're called to praise on Him. And it's not always easy because we get caught up in our situations. Sometimes our circumstances aren't what we would think is always praise ready. And isn't that an interesting concept? We somehow think we have to be doing well in order to praise God. That somehow in our minds that we have to be doing, our lives have to be percolating along to praise Him. Well, that's part of our confusion. We forget about what praise is about. But more in that in just a minute. We depend upon our emotions, and our emotions betray us all the time. We fail to understand the purpose of praise, which is really odd because in the secular world, they get praise. They just do it for the wrong reasons. They get praise. You know, it was interesting. When I was a much younger individual, I worked at Oaklawn Covenant Church, and I did the senior high ministries, and they had a basketball league. And every Saturday, it was a church league. And all these kids would come together, and they would play basketball. And we'd play against a Baptist church or a Methodist church or another Covenant church. And all the people from the church would come there, and it would be amazing. I didn't coach it. I didn't play in it, but I sat in the stands. And the energy level, the noise level, the enthusiasm, the intention that was paid to the basketball team was phenomenal because I was with them the next morning in worship. And those who were so excited took on kind of a comatose appearance. They walked in and it was almost as if they were bored. Have you ever been bored in church? I've been bored in church. Maybe you're saying, well, today is the day. But here's the thing. Think about what we're saying. We are bored as the gathered people of God in the presence of God, empowered by the Spirit of God. Somehow we have taken the greatest news on the face of the earth and made it lifeless, lackluster, boring. How in the world did we do that? How in the world did we do that? You know, and it doesn't always take an entire team. Sometimes you just get an individual out there and the crowd is wrapped in a frenzy. I don't know, LeBron James comes to mind. You bring him out. And you don't have to limit yourself to the sports world. Were any of you saddened yesterday at the passing of Neil Armstrong? You know, that one hit me. Because he is a member of the most exclusive club on the face of the planet, those who have walked on the moon. There's only 12. There's only 12 people who have ever set foot on the moon. And now there's 11, or maybe 10, I don't know. But you know, he never got why everyone would go nuts when he was around. He never understood that. He said, I'm just a guy, and I took a step. Secular world gets praise. But you see, praise ought to be prevalent in the culture of the Christian, and we ought to have a good idea why. Let me tell you one of the central functions of praise. Praise orients reality. Praise orients reality. Sometimes even the believer thinks that they're the center of the universe. We think somehow if it isn't focused on us, it ought to be. We somehow forget that there is a God in heaven and that we are on the fringe. It reminds us that we are not the center of attention, that there is only one who is worthy, only one who deserves honor, only one who deserves exaltation. And in that world, in our world that demands so much from us, so much attention, that it is God and God alone who is deserving of all affection, who is deserving of all praise. Praise also teaches something about ourselves. It reminds us that we are limited and dependent. We are dependent upon God. We are not only sinners who are, in fact, stand in need of mercy and grace on a repeated basis. It teaches us that we are limited in our ability to care, protect, nurture. We can't do it on our own. We need God. We need Him. And if you need someone, you look up to them. You lift them up. God is the only one who is worthy to be worshiped. Praise places God in the right spot and in the right relationship. Praise has nothing to do with our circumstances. It has everything to do with our relationship to God. We praise Him because we owe it to Him. We don't just praise Him when we feel like it. We praise Him regardless. God is all powerful. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He is caring. Even when I am in pain, even when I suffer, that never changes. We praise him because he is who he is and he does what he has done. He always is worthy of praise. That's why praise fills the Psalms. This morning we're looking at Psalm 150. That's the last psalm in the Bible. The Psalms are divided up into five books. And at the end of every book, there is a doxology, a word of praise. Doxa is praise, ology are words, praise words. There are praise words at the end of every book. Psalm 43, verse 15, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen. Psalm 72, verses 18 and 19, praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. When you go on and you read the next page, the next one, Psalm 89. Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Isn't it interesting how they keep saying amen and amen? Let it be so, let it be so. We agree, or how I like to translate it, yes and yes. Psalm 106. Praise be to the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. And then it says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now, at the end of the whole book of Psalms, they stuck out a 6-verse doxology. Psalm 150. I like Psalm 150. Well, you can't read it without getting a little bit of energy involved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in the sanctuary. Hallelujah in his mighty heavens. Hallelujah for his acts of power. Hallelujah for his surpassing greatness. Hallelujah with the sound of trumpets. Hallelujah with the praise and the harp and lyre. Hallelujah with the tambourines and dancing. I have trouble with that. Any of you bad dancers? Yeah, I tell people, dancing is not theology, it's biology. It just doesn't happen. You know, I can't. Hallelujah with strings and flute. Hallelujah with the clash of cymbals. Hallelujah with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that breath say hallelujah, hallelujah. 10 times we are told to praise the Lord in 6 verses. 10 times. Honor him, bow down before him, worship him, adore him, give him the glory 10 times. We are told this over and over and over and over. Here's one of the things. As a collection, are Christians known as people who praise? We tend to be known as people who complain. We tend to be known as people who are, what's a good synonym for complaining? Crabbing, does that work? Crabbing? You see, we have so much to be praising God for. We have so much to honor him for. Let that be known as our character. Let that be known as our character. Let me ask you a question. Are your best days ahead of you or behind you? All those who say ahead, say amen. Amen. All those who behind, stay after, we'll talk. We know that it's our best days are ahead of us. How many of you know that you are blessed? How many know that you are loved? How many know that you're forgiven? How many know that you have hope beyond hope? Okay, then what are we complaining about? What are we complaining about? Gas is $3.94. So what? All right, so what? We have to listen. We have until November 6th to listen to this nonsense every day. So what? So what? Hey, the traffic was a little bad this summer. So what? You know, money is not always plentiful. So what? My body doesn't always feel the best. So what? Can we have complaints? Sure, but they shouldn't be what defines us. What ought to define us, is that we praise God. That we're excited about our relationship with God. That Jesus is the one who has given us life. That Jesus is the one that we have the greatest love for. That we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is Jesus. And so I like Psalm. I like Psalm 150. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary, right here, in this place, when we are gathered together. Oh, sure, you can go off by yourself and praise God, but there is something about the gathered people of God. Have you noticed that God rarely deals with individuals? He deals with the people. He deals with us collectively. He deals with us. It's a lot more fun to sing with you than it is to sing by myself. It is a lot more fun. I love it when you know something really well and you get into it, because you get into it. And I like it when you sing. We praise God together. There is something about being with the people of God. And not only do we praise Him here, but He praises Him in all creations, in the heavens, in the firmament. We praise Him for His acts of power. Number one recorded, commented, referred to miracle in the Bible is what? Anybody know? What? Parting of the Red Sea. Referred to more than any other miracle in the Bible. That's got to be impressive. I think we talked before about that. How many of you would like to see God part the bay? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. We're going to do it at 9 a.m. next Sunday morning. Whoosh. And we'll all walk across and we'll all walk back. And can you imagine? Wow, that would be cool. You know? That would be amazing. God for His mighty acts. Hi, can you imagine waking up every morning, going out to your lawn and picking up breakfast? You know, manna? And can you imagine eating that for 40 years and never getting tired of it? Yeah, I love it. And doesn't the Bible has a great sense of humor? You all know what manna means, don't you? What is it? Hey, went out this morning. What is that? That's what it is. What are you having for breakfast? What is it? Every day there was quail and water and manna. What's the menu for tomorrow? Quail, water, and manna. Same thing every day. It's there. It's there. For 40 years, their clothes and sandals didn't wear out. Which is great because there's no stores. Here you have that. We praise God for His acts of power. Where do you begin? How long do you have? We praise Him for His surpassing greatness. We praise Him for His character, His nature, who He is. And you know the interesting thing is that we often run out of vocabulary when we come talking about God. We run out of vocabulary. We have trouble coming up with new and expressive terms. That's okay. Use the same ones over and over again. The Bible does. We praise Him not just for what He's done. We praise Him for who He is. We praise Him for who He is. What's His nature? He is gracious, compassionate, loving, eternal, forgiving children and children's children, that whole thing that He gave to Moses in Exodus 34. We praise God with all of creation. We praise God because of what He's done, who He is, and then in verses 3, 4, 5, we're going to make some noise. Which is really odd, isn't it? Because, you know, think about it. We're going to do it with the sound of trumpet. Trumpets make noise. We're going to do it with harps and lyres, kind of like harps and guitars. We're going to do it with tambourines and dancing. You know, oh, gosh, do you ever feel like dancing in church? I give you permission. Let it go. Let it go. Can you see that? Some visitor comes into West Bay Covenant Church and sees all of us just kind of busting a move. I think that's how they describe it. Is that the right term? Is it? Yeah, it doesn't sound good. It's just starting to dance, you know? That's not a picture you want to see. But, you know, we're going to dance. Then you have strings and you have flute and then you have cymbals, loud, resounding cymbals. Why are we so quiet in church? Why are we, let all mortal flesh keep silent? Really? We're going to hold that one up in the worship end? Why? Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout. You know, we were brought up to believe that the last thing we're ever supposed to do in church is make noise. Why? It's a sign of reverence. Okay, I understand that. I get that. But the Bible tells us to lift our voices. The Bible tells us to say it with volume. Have you ever noticed that volume creates emotion? I'm excited. I'm so excited to be with you today. Really? It's awesome being here. I believe that. You see, we invest ourselves in it. When we are caught up emotionally, we are engaged. And God wants an engaged people. He wants us to lift up our hands, to gather together. He wants us to do it with trumpet and every conceivable instrument you can get your hands on. And he wants us to do it with voices that override that. He wants us to do it so that we are standing and sitting and waving. He wants us fully involved in praise to him. He, in other words, wants all of us. He wants all of us. Let everything that has breath, everything. Imagine that. Everything that has breath, all the animal kingdom, all the human kingdom, everything that breathes. You know, the trees of the field shall clap their hands, you know? All the images that the Bible uses, all of creation is to tell God that we love him, honor him, and praise him. Because if we become a people of praise, then all of a sudden our entire world changes. Our perspectives change. Our emotions change. Our attitudes change. Our confidence increases. If we become people of hallelujah, we become a people who win. We are a victorious people. We are a people of hope and a people of life. So this morning as you leave here, this morning as you walk out this door, I want you to be people of praise. Not because I tell you, but because the Bible says. Not because it's my idea, but because it's what God requests of each and every one of us. That we would be people who lift up his name, who honor him above all, who love him with a passion, who know that we have won by his hand. We need to be people of hallelujah and a people of praise. So I say this in the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes and yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Will you stand and join us for our closing song, Ancient of Days?